Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Samach Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 13 lines from the top of Daf Samaches. We will be continuing with the topic of those who are Tomei are sent out of their respective machnos. We have been discussing the halacha of a Zav, Metzora, or Tomei Meis. Are each one expected to leave specific precincts in Israel? Specifically, if we're talking about Yerushalayim, so there is the Machne Shechina, the Azora, there is the Machne Levio, the Temple Mount, the Harabayis, and there is Machne Yisrael, which is Jerusalem. We will notice on the side a topic heading in which we've written Limud Mehaposuk Shebal Keri Yotze Mishnei Machnos. We will be introducing a posuk that teaches us that a balkeri, this is a male that has his nocturnal emission, he will be expected to leave, he's chayev to leave, two machnos. That means he cannot be in the Azora, he cannot be on the Temple Mount either. We will be citing a posuk, Dvarim Perek Chof Gimel, posuk Yud Aleph. We've included the pasuk on the side so that before we learn the Gemara, let's just glance at the pasuk. It says, "Ki yebcha ish asher lo yetohar mikra laila." If there is amongst you a man that is not tohar, he's not pure, he's defiled because of a nighttime emission, "V'yotza el michutz lamachne lo yavo el toch hamachne." Now there's a double expression in this pasuk. It says he shall go outside the machne, v'yotze el michutz lamachne, and it also says lo yavo el toch hamachne, he shall not enter the machne being the precinct. The Gemara. Toni Tano Kamei Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. As we said, we're 13, now 14 lines from the top. A Tano, that's someone who is expert in Tanaic sources, stated a source in the presence of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. He quotes this pasuk that we just read, and the pasuk is in the context of a bal keri, and the source says, "V'yotzel michutz la'machne, zu machne shechina." That's a reference to the area that is defined by the walls of the Azora, the camp of the divine presence, as it's called literally. "Lo yavo el toich ha'machne," he shall not enter the camp, the precinct, "zu machne levia." This is the second reference to a camp is a reference to the Machne Levia, the Levitical camp, the Har Habayis, the Temple Mount. Mikan the Balkeri sheyetze chutz l'shtei machnas. From here we learn that the Balkeri, who is the subject of this pasuk, is expected to absent himself or depart from two machnos, and they are the Machne Shechina and the Machne Levia. Omar Lay, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, upon hearing this, says, "Akati lo ayilise afikte." Now, first we'll translate this, noting that there's a second lashon. You can see the next line, "Lishnach Rino." There are two versions as to what he said. The Gemara itself is quite terse and vague. We will then learn the Rashi on regarding both of these lashonos. And then we'll have a restatement to the likings of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. So the first statement, and we just translated this point, is "Akati lo ayilise." You haven't yet have him enter, and you're in afikte. You're taking him out. In other words, to have someone removed before he's even entered is an oddity. How can you How can you say that you take him out if you haven't even put him in there yet? And Lishnachrina, Akati lo afikte ayilte, you haven't taken him out yet. Are you you putting him in? As we said, that is very vague. Now we look at the Rashi. Omar le, Akati lo ayilte, afikte, adayin lo hichnastoi lemachne levia. You haven't put him in to the Levitical camp, ukvar hoiseso mimeno, and you're already telling him to leave. Demidiko amris lo yovoi lusoicha. From the fact that you say don't enter it, michlal de oimed chutzala, it must be that he's standing outside of it. V'komar lo yikones, and you're telling someone that's standing outside, don't go in. Vo akati lo ishtoi boze shietse mimachne shchina v'oimed b'machne levia. You haven't yet established that he should leave the machne shchina, which would then cause him to be standing in the machne levia, l'shalcho mimena, and thereby to then send him out of it. The komazule shelo ikones, and you're warning him not to enter, ki'ilu kvar yotza, implying that he's already departed. Akati lo ayilte, klomar, adayin, this is the first half of the first phrase, you haven't had him go in yet, klomar, adayin lo diber al knisoso mate ole. You haven't mentioned anything about his entrance, what shall be with him. In other words, you'd have to have him described as entering the Machne Levia, then telling him leave the Machne Levia, and then you can tell him don't go into it. But you haven't had him enter the Machne Levia yet. Afikte v'diber olov ki'ilu yotzen, you're speaking about him as if he's already gone out, and then telling him don't go in. So that there is, as far as the presentation of this Tanaic source, you don't see any clear movement or dictated movement on the part of the Psukim, thereby enabling me to say that we're warning him, don't go into the Machne Levia. Lishno Achrino Garsinon, this is the second version of the Gemara, Akati lo afikte ailte. What does that mean? Adayin lo hutzrachtoi lotzeis mimachne levia. You haven't required him to leave the machne levia. Ukvar his artoi shelo yikones, and you're already telling him don't go into it. V'hainu a'ilte. The expression a'ilte is the Gemara. Kvar ato medaber b'knisoso. You're already talking about his entrance into it, when you haven't even told him to leave it yet. The Gemara continues, Elo Emo, rather, state the source as follows, Michutz Lamachane, Zu Machne Levia, Lo Yovo El Tocha Machane, Zu Machne Shchina. Now we go again to learn the Gemara, the Rashi, that is, Elo Emo Hochi, V'yotzo El Michutz Lamachne, Zu Machne Levia. The Posuk is telling him that he must leave the Machne. So which Machne is the Posuk addressing? He is to leave the Machne Levia, and when he comes to leave the Machne Levia, Al Yikones B'Machne Shechina, don't go into the Machne Shechina, rather go the other direction. V'ilo havu ksivi shtei machnois, had the posuk not repeated the term machnois, have mukmino lei ba'oimei b'machne shchina, I would have set up the case that he's standing in the Machne Shechina umatzmichoi lotzeis mimena, and telling him, leave the Machne Shechina. If you leave the Machne Shechina, there's only one place to go, and that is the Machne Leviyah. Avol oimei b'machne leviyah ein mishtalech. Had the Pasuk not repeated the word Machne, I would have thought someone who's standing in the Machne Leviyah doesn't have to leave. Now that the term Machna appears twice, we therefore have to speak in these terms, namely that he is in, the Pasuk is addressing someone that's in the Machna Leviyah and telling him to leave not only that Machna and also not go into the Machna Shechina. Maskif lo Ravina. Ravina challenges what we have said so far and asks, Eimo idi v'idi l'machne shechina. Maybe both machne references are to the machne shechina. V'lavor olov ba'aseh v'lo sa'aseh. The double psukim, one is in the positive and one is in the negative. So that for entrance into the machne Shechina, one would be in violation of a positive command, which says v'yotzal michutz l'machne, and the other would be a violation of the negative command lo yovo el toch hamachne. But as far as the machne leviyah were concerned, it would be okay for the Baal Keri to be there. The Gemara says im kain, if that is so, that both machne references are to the machne Shechina alone. Leimakra, then the pasuk should have stated it thusly: V'yotzel michutz l'machne v'lo yovo el toich. He shall leave the machne and don't go into it. Hamachane lomali. Why repeat the word hamachane again? Shma mino litein lui machne acheres. The presence of the extra machane word indicates an additional precinct. Hence, the Baal Keri is sent out of the machne Shechina and the Machne Leviyah as well. The Mishnah on Samach Hei Omid Beis mentioned Umichui Krevov. Michui Krevov as being a procedure in the processing of the Korban Pesach that overrules Shabbos, that even if the 14th of Nisan coincides with a Shabbos, Michui Krevov is also something that one can do. Just like we say you can shecht the animal, you can slaughter it on Shabbos 14th of Nisan, the Korban Pesach of course, so too Michui Krevov. My Michui Krevov, what does that expression mean? Rav Huna Omar, Sheminakvin Besakin. The word Michui has to do with piercing the entrails, with the goal of removing all kinds of digested food from there. Chio ba'rav omar shirko deme'ayo denafko agav ducha ko desakina. This is a reference not to the contents of the entrails, but rather a reference to a type of slime that lines the inner sides, the inner walls of the entrails. And in order to have it removed, so it's removed through knife pressure that is applied by the knife, and thereby removing this shirka de me'aya. The Gemara then uses psukim, or presents psukim, to explain these opinions. Omar Rabbi Lozar, my time of the chiyo barav. From where does Chiyo Barav get his idea that it's a removal of the lecha that is stuck to the entrails? The Pasuk says, and there are three words we read before, we're going to read the printed part of the Pasuk, and that you can see we've written between the lines. It says, V'ro kvosim kedabrom, v'charvois mechim gorim yochelo. Now, you see the word mechim is dashed, underlined. That ties into the word michui. Now, how do we see in this pasuk, v'charbois mechim, that it's a reference to the lecho haduka b'me'ayim, the slime lining the walls of the intestines? My mashma. So, how do you see that in this pasuk? Kit demetargim Rav Yosef. As Rav Yosef, who was an expert in the Aramaic explanations or translations of psukim in the Tanakh. So Rav Yosef says that the Aramaic version of this is v'nechsehen derishaya, the property of the wicked, tzadikayo yachsanun, will be inherited by the tzadikim, by the righteous ones. Now, we've dashed underlined the word rishaya, and above that we've written that the word mechim, which is translated into Aramaic as rishaya, indicates that mechim is something that is bad and disgusting. And that is what shirka demeaya would be. Now, before we go on in the Gemara, let's take a look at the Rashi. In the lower part of the margin, you'll note, by the way, that Rashi appears in two columns. On what we would otherwise call the Tosfos column, Rashi appears here as well. So the Rashi in the lower part of the inside column, Menachfon Besakin, the Gemara mentioned that in the name of Rav Huna, Michui Krevov is piercing the entrails with a knife, Shietze Horei, so that the digested food or the feces that are still inside the animal should leave. Shim Yanichenu Besochon, if being that it's Shabbos and you're not going to roast the animal till the nighttime, if you're going to leave things as they are till the nighttime with the feces inside the animal, inside the slaughtered animal, Yasrichu Kodem Shetechshach, they will go bad, they will become ruined and disgusting, rotted before nightfall. The Loshen Michui, that expression, is Shemoitzi Peresh Raka Dinimches Besocha. It's a description of the status of the Peresh, the waste of the animal. It's a soft waste that's Nimches. The word Nimches has to do with something that's softened or melted, that is contained within the entrails. And a French word is given, Kemo Mimache V'Shofech, Ukemo Himcheu V'Gomo, that has to do with melting fats and then swallowing it. Lishno Achrino Michui Loshon Nikivo V'Chibul. Another explanation is that the word Michui has to do with piercing and ruining. Kemo Timche Ezecher Amolek, as you find with regard to the eradication of the memory of the zecher of the Amalekites. The pasuk says timche. The word timche is associated with the nekivo v'chibul. So that according to this pshat, michui is not the status of the contents, but rather it's the method of removing it. So these are two lishonos of Rashi explaining the association of the word michui with Rav Huna's pshat of Menachfon Besakin. We continue in the Rashi at the bottom line, shirka demeaya. This is now chio barav's pshat in michui. Lecho ho'aduka. Notice we're reading at the top line of Rashi in the what otherwise is the Tosfos column. Lecho aduka b'me'ayim. This is a slime that's lining the walls of the intestines. Shiyotse mehen bedochak besakin. That if you apply pressure to these walls with a knife, so then this lecha is removed. And a French word is given. Michui loshon dover bazui. Something that is disgusting. Kedemforj taimo v'charvois mechim. As the targum of the word mechim was rishaya, so it's something rishaya are evil ones or wicked ones, so it's something that is bad. So this is a description of the, according to this pshat, it's this, the michui krevov is a reference to a description of the contents. So you have three different linguistic approaches. The first two are presented by Rashi within the first Amoros pshat, and the third pshat is the explanation of the second Amoros pshat. So as you can see with our markings, we tried to highlight the main points. The first was a reference to the Re'i. However, Michui, according to the first pshat in Rashi, was a description of the description of the material in terms of its physical state, and the second pshat was the method through which you remove it, and the third pshat is michui is a reference to a description of the material itself as being something disgusting, that which you're trying to remove. We turn back to the Gemara, and at this point, the Gemara looks at the beginning of the pasuk, that which we had written in before between the lines. It says there, "V'ra'u kvasim kidavrom." Omar Menashe bar Yirmiyah Omar Rav. What is kidavrom? Kimedubar bom, as they were promised through the prophet. So that the pasuk begins by saying that the V'ro Kvosim, and Kvosim is a reference to the Jewish people, as the prophets have said, the righteous will inherit the property of the wicked. That was what the Hemshech L'Pasuk, V'charvois Mechim Gorim Yochelu, as we saw in Rav Yosef's explanation. So, the beginning of the Pasuk is the word kidovram is kimedubar bom, as the Novi had promised, as the prophet had prophesied. My kimedubar bom, what is that promise that was mentioned by the prophet? Omra baye, v'charvois mechim gorim yochelu. The beginning of the Pasuk features a prophecy stated by the prophet, a type of promise. What is the promise? What is the havtocha? That which it says in the end, in the hemshich of the pasuk, at the end of the pasuk, that charvos mechim gorim yochelu, which we saw before, would be the properties of the wicked will be inherited by the pious. Omar le Rava. Rava addresses Abayis Pshan. He says, "Bishlamo iksiv." Charvos. Had the word charvos appeared without the vav, in actuality there is a vav. Had it appeared without the vav, kidiko armis, then your pshat would be fine with me. Hashir si v'charvos. Now that the vav in actuality appears, milso achriti ko'omar. There is something, a second issue is being mentioned. In other words, you have the beginning of the pasuk that says v'ro kivosim kidovram, and the continuation of the pasuk is not a throwback to that which was mentioned at the beginning of the pasuk by virtue of the presence of the vav in the word v'charvois. Elo Omar Rava. Notice we have underlined Rava and called this beis, a diamond beis, in contrast to the diamond aleph that we had for Abaye a few lines up. So Rava explains, what does v'ro kvosim kidovram mean? Kidarav Hananel Marav. We should point out also, before we go on, it's Kidovram would be Kimedubar Bom, as it was said regarding them. And now that's very vague. What do we mean as it was said regarding them? So Rav Hananel says, Asidim Tzadikim Shiichu Es Hamesim. In the future, the righteous will arouse the dead. And on the side of the one, there are no same of Nehenning, with double underline appears. And we've written, Asidim Tzadikim Shiyichu Es Hamesim. We have a comment here, and another double underline comment a few lines later on this topic. So Rav Hananel tells us that in the future, the righteous that are around will resurrect or cause the resurrection of the dead. Ksiv Hocha, here it says, V'ra'u Kvosim Kedavram. Uksiv Hosam, in a separate pasuk, in Sefer Micha, it says, Yir'u, notice we dot underline the word Yir'u, this is to create the parallel between the word V'ra'u and the word Yir'u here. It says, Yir'u Boshan V'gilon Kimei Oilam. Now this pasuk is quite vague, but it's explained, Boshan Ze Elisha, Abomin HaBoshan. The word Boshan is a reference to the prophet Elisha, who comes from that region of Israel. It's a northern region. Shnemar v'yanai v'shofar b'boshan. So you have a list of names that are from Boshan, And amongst the names is Shaphat. Uksiv po Elisha ben Shaphat, ashiyatzak maim al yidei Eliyo. So Elisha was the son of Shaphat, who comes from Bashan. So when the Pasuk says, Yiru Bashan v'Gilad, there's a reference in this Pasuk to Elisha Hanavi. And what else do we see in this Pasuk? Gilad is Eliyo. Gilad in that Pasuk of Yiru Bashan v'Gilad is, Gilad is Eliyo Hanavi. Et Shenema v'yomer Eliyo ha'tishbi mitoshavei Gilad v'chulei. Now, the main point might not be obvious yet. What is common to Elisha and Elio? What's common to them is they both resurrected someone from the dead. Well, regarding them, we have a pasuk that said, Yiru, Bashan, v'Gilad. Now, the word Yiru then is a reference to Bashan and Gilad, to Elio and Elisha that resurrected from the dead. Hence, you have the pasuk that we were dealing with, Vero, Kvasim, Kedavram, is a reference to parallel individuals, that namely righteous individuals, that also will resurrect the dead. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omar Rav Yonison. Asim Sadikim Shichyu Mesim. In the future, the righteous will resurrect the dead. Shinemar, O Yeshvu Zikenim Zikenis Berchovis Yushalayim. V'ish Mish'anta V'yado Miroi V'yomim. Pasuk describes in the future that the elders and the youth will be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim, and it mentions in the pasuk Ish Mishantoi Biyodo. Mishanto is a walking stick. Uksiv, it says by Elisha that resurrected the Ben Hashunamis, it says Visamto Mishanti Alpnei Hanar, and you see the word Mishanti in the context of resurrection. So that from this pasuk you see, from this the Gzeirah Shavah between the word Mishanti, you find a reference to tzaddikim and their resurrecting the dead. As we continue in the Gemara, a new marking appears. You see a house shape, and under the Mivneh heading on the side, we've noted Sidra Shel Haloas Stiros V'Yishuvim L'Psukim Ak. The Gemara will be raising seeming contradictions in Psukim, and the Gemara will be occupied with resolving these contradictions. And the context of this Gemara is one of the future. Ula Rami. Ula raises a contradiction between psukim. Ksiv, on the one hand, it says Bila Hamoves Lo Netzach. The concept of death, Rashi says Bila Hamoves Yivula Malach Hamoves Shelo Yishlot. The angel of death will be absorbed and no longer have reign. In other words, death will cease to be. Uksiv, another pasuk says, and we continue in the Gemara, Ki Hanar ben Meo Shono Yomus. The Nar will die at 100 years old. Nar is generally speaking translated as the youth. The youth will die at age 100. Also a future pasuk. So, on the one hand, there will be no death, on the other hand, there is death. Lo Kashi, there is no contradiction. Kan be Yisrael, kan be Akum. One is a reference to the Jewish people, that in this future time there will be no more dying. And the other is a reference to the idol worshippers. The Gemara asks, the Oivdei Kechavim, my Bo Hasam, what are idol worshippers doing there in that future time? The Gemara answers, Dichtiv, they will be present in service of the Jewish people. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, V'yomdu zorim v'ro tzonchem, uv'nei nechor, ikorechem v'kormechem. Zorim are the strangers. Strangers will arise and tend to your flocks. And b'nei nechor also are strangers. They will be your ikorechem, your farmers, and kormechem, your vinters. V'Rav Chista, that is Rav Chista Rami. Rav Chista now raises a contradiction. K'siv v'chofra halavona uvoisha hachama. These are expressions, chofra and bosha are expressions of embarrassment, where the moon, the lavona and the chama, the sun, will not shine forth. U'k'siv v'hoya or halavona k'or hachama. And it will come to be that the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. Or hachamo, yeah, shivasayim ka'or shivas hayomim. And the light of the sun will be shivasayim. The word shivasayim is an indication of 7 times 7, 49 times the strength of the light of the 7 days of creation. And Rashi says that, in effect, the sun will be 7 times 49, 343 times stronger than it is now. So, how do we resolve these two psukim? Lo kashya, no contradiction. And the Gemara will present two resolutions. One, kan lo'olam haba, kan limoisa mashiach. There are two time periods referred to. One is Yemos HaMashiach, the days of the Moshiach, and the other is Olam Haba. So that one Pasuk is a reference to the Yemos HaMashiach, and the other Pasuk is a reference to the time period known as Olam Haba. U'lishmuel di'omar ein bein Olam Hazeh li'Yemos HaMashiach elo shibud malchios bovad. According to Shmuel, there is not going to be any physical changes between Yemos HaMashiach, the days of Moshiach, and today's time period. So as far as the natural laws are concerned, they will remain the same. So how are you going to resolve these two psukim according to Shmuel? The Gemara answers, Idi v'idi, both psukim le'olam haba, are a reference to the future world. Lo kashya, kan b'machne shchina, kan b'machne tzadikim. One pasuk is a reference to the divine machane, within the presence of the divinity, which would be the pasuk that says the sun and the moon won't even shine because of the intense light cast by the Shechina, so there won't be any need for the sun and the moon. And kan b'machne tzadikim, in the precinct occupied by the righteous in this olam haba state of being, that's where you have the or halavana will be like or hachama, etc. Rava Rami, here a third house marking, another seeming contradiction. Ksiv ani amis v'chaya. One pasuk says, I will kill and I will resurrect. V'ksiv mochatzti v'ani erpa. Mochatzti is to inflict injury, and erpa is to heal. So the question is, why do I need two psukim? Hashta achuye mechaye. Once you establish that the Almighty resurrects, he brings back to life, merape lo kol shekein, that he is capable of healing, all the more so. It's an easier task, so to speak. So why make mention of that? Elo omar hakodesh baruch hu. Rather, the understanding is as follows. Ma shani meimis, ani mechaye. That which I killed, I will resurrect. Kemo shemochatzi v'ani erpa. As is the case where healing is done in the same spot that injury was afflicted. So that in the case of the meimis and mechaye, so as that you don't come to make any mistake, maybe one would have thought that all that the Pasuk is saying, that things will continue as they are, that the dead die, he who dies becomes dead, and he who is born anew becomes alive. So that is not what the Pasuk is saying, but rather, the one who had been put to death will himself come back to life. And that is mirrored by the Pasuk that says, Mochatzti v'ani erpa. Just like there, the two actions are in the same individual. Refuah, healing, is only applicable to someone who had been himself injured. Tana Rabbanu, we have a Tanaic source that reflects this. Ani amis v'chaya, Yochol Misa Be'echod V'chayim Be'echod Kederech Sholom Ol Noheg? Could it be that when it says Ani Amis V'chayim means I will continue as I am now, says the Almighty, that I will put to death those who are supposed to die, and I will bring to life through birth those who are to be born, as the Olam is knowing, as the world conducts itself today. Talmud Lomar, therefore the second part of the pasuk clarifies, Mochatzti Vani Erpa, Ma Make Urefua Be'echod, just like the action of injury and healing is in one individual, for one and the same person, Af Misa V'chayim Be'echod, so too, the death and coming to life is in the one individual. Mikan, from here, Tshuva L'Oimrim, Ein Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. From this pasuk we have a response to those skeptics who claim that the verses make no reference to the resurrection. And so here you see, the pasuk is hinting to or alluding to Tchias HaMesim. Dover Acher, B'tchila ma'asheni me'mezane mechayeh. Another resolution to the psukim is that at first I will resurrect that which had died. And when they come back to life, when the dead come back to life, they come back to life the way they were at the time of their initial death. V'hadar, and after they come back to life, ma'ashemochatzti v'anirpa. It will then heal those that had been sickly or injured at the time they had died. It's a two-stage process. First, the coming back to life of people in the same state as they were at the time they died, and then their healing. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, and here we have a quote from the Mishnah, and it said, in the context of the Korban Pesach, the Hekter Chalovov are Doiche Es HaShabbos, the burnings of the innards of the Korban Pesach that was slaughtered on the 14th of Nisan that coincided with a Shabbos, so its innards, the Chalovim, are burnt on that Shabbos. It goes without saying that a standard Korban has the offering of its innards on the Mizbeach. However, we happen to know that that process of burning innards is something that can be done during the night following the offering of any particular Korban. Yet, with the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, though the burning of their innards could have been done Saturday night, thereby not violating Shabbos with their burning, nevertheless, we don't say that. We say that the innards are burned on Shabbos itself, the innards of the Korban Pesach that was slaughtered on that Shabbos day. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source that elaborates a bit on this. Omar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, take note, Bo Urei, come and see, Kamo Chavivo Mitzvah V'Shaita, how Chavivo literally is beloved, or how important, how significant a mitzvah is in its time. To do things, the idea of doing something on its dedicated or predetermined time is of significance. Sharei Hekter Chalovim Evorim Ufdorim. The Hekter is the burning of the Chalovim Evorim Ufdorim, of the different parts of the animal's innards that are to be burnt on the altar. Sheirim Kol Halayla. It could have been done, the burning could have been done all night, Saturday night, Motzoi Shabbos. And that's the nighttime of the 15th of Nisan, where we are sitting around during the Seder. So that night, which is in our case Saturday night, because we're talking about the Korban Pesach offered on a Shabbos, the Saturday night could have been used for the burning of the innards, and being Saturday night, so you're not burning something on Shabbos. Burning on Yom Tov is a lighter matter than burning something on Shabbos. And yet we say, V'ein mamtinim lahem ad shetechshach. We don't wait, we don't delay in their burning till the passing of Shabbos, but we burn it on Shabbos day. And that's a function of it being a Shabbos korban. A korban that was brought, was one was allowed to bring on Shabbos, one was obligated to bring it on Shabbos. Its limbs, its innards, are burnt on that same time period, Shabbos itself. The Gemara now discusses another quote from the Mishnah, and the Divor Maso reads, Har Kavoso Vavoso, that has to do with the carrying of the animal and bringing it from outside the Tchum. And we want to focus on the V'chule, which is V'chatichas Yabeltoi Ein Doichinus HaShabbos. That's the cutting off of a wart. It does not overrule or supersede Shabbos. Before continuing in the Gemara, notice at the side, the Nosei, the topic heading, where we've written Shnei Deos Eich Liashev Stira Bein Mishnosenu. We're going to see two opinions in how to resolve a seeming contradiction between our Mishnah, Shoiseres Chatichas Yabelis B'Shabbos B'Mikdosh, that prohibits the cutting off of a wart from an animal, a sanctified animal. If you don't remove the wart, it's labeled a balmum, a blemished animal, and hence unfit to serve as a sacrifice. The removal of the wart will enable it to be accepted. Our Mishnah, however, prohibits the removal of the Yabeles on Shabbos. The Mishnah Maseches Eruvin Shematira Chatichas Yabeles. The Mishnah in Maseches Eruvin, those of you may recall the sugya toward the end of Maseches Eruvin that dealt with this, and there it was indicated that a Yabeles can be removed. So we continue now in our Gemara, five lines from the top of Amud Beis. Viraminu, we're five lines from the top, that is, of Samach Chesomet Beis. Viraminu, Choitchin Yabeles Bamikdosh Avolo Bamedina. A Yabeles may be removed from an animal, from a korban, in the Beis Hamikdosh, but not outside the Beis Hamikdosh. V'im Bekli Kan V'Kan Muter Otzer. And if the intent is to remove it with a vessel, with a knife, then even in the Beis HaMikdash, as well as the Medina, which is the area outside the Beis HaMikdash, it is forbidden. So in our Mishnah, it said, Chatichas Yabelta was not Doich HaShabbos. The Mishnah in Erevin says, Chotchin Yabelos BaMikdash, it can be cut off on Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. These two Amoroyim have each one their own opinion. Chal Omar Idi V'Idi B'Yad. One says that both sources are referring to a removal by hand. In other words, no use of a vessel. Let it be pointed out that once you are using hand removal as opposed to using a vessel, you are not dealing with a Torah level prohibition. However, ha b'lecha, ha b'yavesha. Our Mishnah, which prohibits, is talking about a lecha, is a fresh type of yabeles, a wet, flexible wart, as opposed to yavesha, one that is completely dried out. That is mutter. That would be mutter to have to be removed, provided you do it by hand. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Ha, v'ha, b'yad. The star that we have in the Rashi is what the star here is referring to between the lines, so that you can see which Rashi we're looking at, the first of the narrow lines. Ha, v'ha, b'yad. Both sources are talking about a manual or hand removal as opposed to a vessel, a kli, a knife. Shechoitcha biyado v'lo v'sakin. You're cutting it off, you're removing it by hand and not with a knife. De'ein bo elo mishum shvus. Since you're doing it by hand, it itself is categorized as a rabbinic problem. V'afilu hochi osur b'lecha. Even though it's only rabbinic in nature, it still is forbidden if when you're dealing with a lecha quality Yabeles. Why is there a restriction? Even though we're dealing with the Beis HaMikdash, and generally speaking, we say Ein Shvus V'Mikdash. Nevertheless, since it could have been taken care of the day before, we are strict. Vahid de Erevin, the Mishnah in Erevin that says that Yabelis can be removed, that's Biavesha. Dafiu Shvus Lekos, since it's dried out, there isn't even a rabbinic prohibition. Now we continue back in the Gemara. V'chad Omar, the other one of the two Amoroyim in dealing with the two sources regarding Yabelis removal, the other one says Idi V'idi Balecha. Both sources are dealing with a moist Yabelis. V'lo Kashya Hobiyad Hobikli. And his resolution is, it depends. If you're doing the removal by hand, so it's only rabbinic, and therefore it is allowed to be done on Shabbos. The source that our Mishnah that prohibits, that's because it is going to be done by a with the use of a knife, and hence it's forbidden. And now the Gemara analyzes both of these opinions, why each one said what they did and not like the other. Ulaman de Omar ha biyad ha bikli, the one who resolved, as we just saw, the second opinion that resolved it by making the differentiation between vessel and hand removal. My time, O lo Omar, why did he not say like the first approach? Idi v'idi v'yad, v'lo kashya ha balecha, ha b'yavesha. Our Mishnah that prohibits is a moist Yabelis, and the Mishnah in Erevin that permits is a dry one. Omar loch, yavesha mifrach pricha. He will tell you that if you're dealing with a dry Yabelis, it's not called chotchin. The word chotchin means to cut off. There, since it's dry, it's a type of pulverized tissue matter, and it just crumbles off. So that the word chotchin is inappropriate if it were talking about a dry one. Hence, his approach is that it too, in Maseches Erevin, is talking about a wet one, and hence the word chotchin is appropriate. A wet one meaning a moist yabelis. Ulaman de Omar idi v'idi biad, v'lo kashya hobalecha hobiyavesha. According to that approach, the approach taken by the first man de Omar here, the first double underline was the first man de Omar. My time alo Omar idi v'idi v'lecha, v'lo kashya hobiyad hobikli. Why did he not resolve the two sources by saying that they are both talking about a moist yabelis, and the resolution would be that one is by hand, and that's allowed, and our Mishnah that prohibits is because you'd be using a knife. Omar loch, so he will tell you, kli, as far as the prohibition of using a knife in removing a moist yabelis, ha kotoni hasan, that is already taught there. In other words, there in Maseches Erevin it says im bekli kan v'kan oser. So the use of a knife is already spelled out as being prohibited. Therefore, our Mishnah does not have to repeat that which is already taught. Ve'idach, well, the other opinion that says that in fact did resolve the two sources by saying that it was with a by saying that our Mishnah, which prohibited, was talking about using a knife. So what does he do in face of this objection that there is now repetition or redundancy? So he answers, ha dekotoni kli ha, that which Kli is referred to over here in Erevin, when in fact it was already taught as being prohibited there in Pesach, there in, once again, let's correct ourselves, that which it says here in Pesachim, the prohibition of Kli, when Kli was already prohibited in Erevin, the point of teaching it here was Plukta de Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, also Lashminan. Because our Mishnah had an agenda, and that is to tell teach the Machlokes Tanoim, where Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing, where Rabbi Eliezer tells you that even using a kli, it would be mutter, where he said in our Mishnah on Samach Yom Beis, doichin. We continue. A quote from the Mishnah on Samach Heimet Beis, Omer Rabbi Eliezer, Ma im Shchita v'chulei. We saw in our Mishnah a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer, who was lenient with regard to a number of actions described in the Mishnah, including the Chatichas Yabeles, and Rabbi Yeshua, who was restrictive. Rabbi Eliezer had argued from the standpoint of Shechita, which is an Av Melacha, and that is allowed. So things that are Shavus, which are only Osir Midrabanan, which are only rabbinic in nature, certainly will be allowed. Rabbi Yeshua responded and said, just because you have a Melacha that's allowed doesn't mean the Shavus will be allowed. And his proof was from Yom Tov, where we allow baking and cooking on Yom Tov, and yet we don't allow Isurim Derabonan to be done on Yom Tov. For example, bringing things from outside the Tchum, since it was something you could have done the day before. Rabbi Eliezer responded, how can you bring a proof from Yom Tov, which is the realm of option, it's called the realm of Rishus, how can you compare that to our topic of taking care of a Korban Pesach, which is the realm of mitzvah, something that's obligatory. So the Gemara points out now, Rabbi Yeshua Letame, the fact that Rabbi Yeshua used Yom Tov as his argument against Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua is reflecting his own stance. And he's consistent with what he holds in general. The Omar, Simchas Yom Tov Nami Mitzvah He. Rejoicing on the holiday through food preparation and having meals itself is in the realm of mitzvah. So it is parallel to the case of the melachos we allow for the Korban Pesach, which Rabbi Eliezer acknowledges is a mitzvah. So Rabbi Yeshua was using Simchas Yom Tov as a parallel to the case of Shechitas Pesach, and he was saying that even though we allow Melachos to accomplish Simchas Yom Tov, we don't allow Shivusim Isurim Derabbanan that could have been done before the Yom Tov. You'll notice that we have a very long bracketed section. After the brackets, and you can use the bracket lengthening indicator to show you that we're going to be skipping to the third line from the bottom, note the starred ha'ora, the starred note on the side, and we've written there, Achrei ha-sograyim ha-gemora mamshicha b'diun b'shitois atanoyim shel mishnoseinu. After the brackets, the one will continue evaluating or analyzing the opinions, the Tanaic opinions in our Mishnah. Ubefrat Male Pircha a Rebbe Elozer, and specifically we'll be raising a kasha on Rabbi Eliezer from Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah. Besocha Sograyim a Gemara Dona Beinyan Yomim Shiesh Bohem Chiyuv Achila. Within the brackets, the Gemara will cite days on the Jewish calendar there during which there's an obligation to eat. So that having been said, if we skip momentarily to the section of the Gemara after the brackets, you see Omar Rav Ashi, Ulamai Dukom Rabbi Eliezer Nami Yom Tov Rishus, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua, who holds that Yom Tov is Rishus, as we saw in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer had said to Rabbi Yeshua, how can you, he said on the fourth wide line on Samech Heimet Beis, Ma Ze Yeshua, Ma Ro'iso Rishus LeMitzvah. How can you bring proof to your position from Rishus, from Yom Tov? So Rabbi Eliezer's perception of Yom Tov and eating on Yom Tov is, we call something in the realm of option. So the Rav Ashi will be saying there, looking at Rabbi Eliezer on his own terms, that Yom Tov is an option, is le pircha. He has there's a challenge to his logic. And just to repeat the point again, Rabbi Yehoshua had demonstrated from Yom Tov that Shvusim will not overrule the laws of Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rabbi Eliezer said, leave Yom Tov out of the discussion insofar that it is only Rishus. And therefore the Shvusim are not going to overrule Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now here, Rabbi Eliezer on his own terms though, there is a weakness. And so the Gemara says, Uma Yom Tov shehitir bo melacha shel Rishus lo hitir Shvus she'ima. Yom Tov, which in Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is only optional, and yet they allow the melacha, they allow melacha for that which is optional, and do not allow Shvusim along with it. Shabbos shelo hitir bo elo melacha shel mitzvah. Shabbos, which is even more restrictive in so far as they're matir only melacha of a mitzvah nature. In other words, Shabbos, we don't allow across the board melacha in any given realm. Only like in Shabbos, we allow the shechita, we allow the slaughtering of a sacrifice. So that on Shabbos, which is already more restrictive, where they're matir melacha only if it's of mitzvah, Eino din shelo tatir shvus shima, then all the more so we will not allow the shvus that accompanies it. So how in the world does Rabbi Eliezer argue that shvusim, the isur d'rabbanans, should be able to supersede the laws of Shabbos? And at the top of Samach Teslam and Aleph, you see Rabbi Eliezer's response. Rabbi Eliezer says, Shvus the mitzvah odif lei. A shvus that is part of a mitzvah performance, a shvus that accompanies that which is obligatory, as is the case in, let's say, removing a wart from a Korban Pesach, that has greater strength, and hence it is to supersede the laws of Shabbos. We must go back now to the middle of the Omid, where the bracketed section appears. We have seen Rabbi Yeshua point out that Simchas Yom Tov, arguing, using Yom Tov in his argument, in the context of the Korban Pesach, is a legitimate parallel. And he was saying that we're not going to allow Shvusim to overrule, to supersede Shabbos, as we see in the case of Yom Tov, where we allow melachos, we allow formal primary forms of constructive activity, as is the case of Bishul and Afiyah, and we will not allow Shvusim to be violated. And Rabbi Yeshua was able to do that because he holds that Simchas Yom Tov is parallel to Shechita of the Pesach insofar as both are mitzvos. Both are obligatory. And now the bracketed section. This is introduced by our topic heading on the side, which is Chatzi Lashem v'Chatzi Lachem, a very well-known concept in Halacha regarding Yom Tov. How is one to observe Yom Tov? Is it a heavenly focused occasion, a spiritual time, or is it a time for physical enjoyment? Let us see the Gemara. Desanya, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Ein lo la'odom the Yom Tov, ela oy oicho v'shoise o yoyshe v'shena. A person on Yom Tov has only to either eat and drink, or to sit in Torah study. One or the other. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Halkeu chetzio lachilo shtio v'chetzio lebeis hamedrash. Rabbi Yeshua says Yom Tovim are to be divided, part of the day, literally half the day in physical enjoyment of eating and drinking, and the other half of the day in spiritual activities, beis medrash, Torah study, prayer. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan Ushnei Mikro Echadarshu, both Tanoim Rabbi Lezer and Meshua derive their positions from the same pasuk. Hosev Echad Omer Atzeres Lashem Elokecha. One pasuk describes Atzeres, which is Shavuos, is Lashem Elokecha, spiritual. The Hosev Echad Omer Atzeres Tia Lochem. The holiday is for you, personal, physical pleasure. Rabbi Lezer Savar, Rabbi Lezer holds, Oy Kulo Lashem, Oy Kulo Lachem. The two psukim stand on their own, and you have to make a choice. Either, and you have the right to make a choice, either it's Kulo Lashem, totally spiritual, or it's Kulo Lachem. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, the idea of doing malachas on Yom Tov for baking and cooking, for eating purposes, is a matter of an option that you chose. Rabbi Yeshua sofar chalkeu chetzio lashem v'chetzio lachem. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, every holiday is made of 50% spiritual enjoyment, 50% physical enjoyment, so that the physical enjoyment is something that is obligatory. It's a mitzvah. As we saw earlier, Rabbi Yeshua, we said before the bracketed section, Rabbi Yeshua l'tamid omer simchas yom tov nami mitzvah. And simchas yom tov, in that context, was a reference to the physical pleasure achieved through baking and cooking, leading to your eating of food. Omar Rebbe Lozer. Here we have an Amora, Rebbe Lozer, not to be confused with the Tana Rebbe Lozer. And we have a new marking here, a diamond indicating a series, and on the side we have, under the Mivneh, the structural note, Gimul Yomim Shelikli Almo Bo'ino Nami Lochem. There are 3 days that everyone will agree that there is an element of personal pleasure that is obligatory. And when we say everyone agrees, so that will mean even the Tana Rabbi Eliezer will agree that on these 3 days, and you can see double underlined the days. You could see Atzeres, Shabbos, and Purim. Hakomodim appears in a diamond where everyone agrees. Hakomodim, we read in the Gemara, Batzeres, Deboino Nami Lochem, that when it comes to the holiday of Shavuos, you have to have also an element of eating and drinking. Mai Taimo. Why is that? Yom Shinitno Boi Torahu. It's the day that commemorates the giving or the receipt of the Torah on the part of the Jewish people, where we receive the Torah. And Rashi says, "Deboino nami lochem sheyismach bo b'maychol mishte laharos shenoach mekubo yoim zel Yisrael shenitno Torah bo." It's a national demonstration that the receipt of the Torah is a source or represents something of comfort. And we say comfort, we mean physical comfort. So that it's not a day to practice in ways of asceticism, but rather to have experience physical enjoyment, and thereby we will associate Torah observance with physical enjoyment as well. We continue. Omar Rabbah, Hakol Moedim, everyone will concede. B'Shabbos Deboinon Nami Lochem, that Shabbos is a day that must have in it also personal physical enjoyment. Mai Taimo, why is that? B'Koroso L'Shabbos Oineg. The term Oineg has that connotation of physical pleasure. So Shabbos is proclaimed as a day of Oneg. Omer of Yosef, Hakol Moedim, Bepurim, Deboinon Nami Lochem. Rav Yosef adds that everyone will agree that on Purim you have to have experience physical enjoyment. Mai Taimo, the pasuk says, Yemei Mishta V'Simcha Ksiv Bei. The Purim represent days of drinking and eating. More braid ravina kula shosav yosef betanisa v'bar me'atzarta upuraya umale yom de kipuri. Marbra braid the ravina, this is the son of Ravina, used to experience fasting throughout the year. He would fast every day except for Shavuos, Purim, and Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is the 9th of the month of Tishrei. Yom Kippur itself is on the 10th of Tishrei. And he explains, Atzeres equals Yom Shenitna Bo Torah. As we explained before, it's the day that the Torah was given. Puraya, Yomei Mishtev V'Simcha Ksiv. The pasuk indicates that they are days of eating and drinking. Mali Yom Kippuri, Erev Yom Kippur, the Tani Fio Barav Midifti. Fio Barav has a Tanaic source in which we will demonstrate that the 9th of Tishrei is a day that must be celebrated through eating. The pasuk says, "V'nisem es nafshei sechem b'tishol l'chodesh." Now, literally, it means you shall afflict your spirits on the ninth of the month. The ninth of the month is the 9th of Tishrei. V'chi b'tisha misanin, is that so that on the 9th we fast? V'alo basiri misanin. In fact, we fast on the 10th. Elo lo marloch. The reference to the 9th is telling me the following. Kol ha'ocha v'sheisa b'tisha bo. Anyone who eats and drinks on the 9th of Tishrei, ma'ale olav hakosuf kilu misanet shiv asir. The Torah considers him as if he has fasted on both days, on 2 days, so that in your mind's eye, or in a way of thinking, that if you perceive fasting on Yom Kippur to be a very significant mitzvah, so the eating on the 9th of Tishrei is no less. It is of equal significance. Rav Yosef, Biyoma Da'atzarta Omar, Rav Yosef, when it came to Atzeres, when it came to Shavuos, we saw Rav Yosef before comment on about Purim, and Rebbe Lozer, the Amora, he had commented regarding Shavuos. Here now Rav Yosef makes a comment regarding Shavuos, and he says, Rav Yosef Biyoma Da'atzarta Omar, Rav Yosef on the day of Atzeres, which is another name for Shavuos, you would proclaim Avdi Li Eglotilsi, would speak to his members of his household to prepare for him a meat delicacy known as Eglotilsa. This is there are a couple of pshatim that one finds in Rashi throughout the Shas, but over here he makes reference to a third born calf. That's the calf, when it produces its offspring, the third born is considered the tastiest. Omar, and why was he so concerned that on Shavuos he would have this fine meat? He said, Elo hai yoma de kogorim, if not for this day, the day of the giving of Torah, which caused me to become what I am, in other words, my accomplishment and my significance is through the Torah. So it says that if not for this day, kama Yosef ika b'shuka, there are a lot of Yosefs out there in the public, in the market, so that I would have been just another, as Yosef can sometimes is explained, it's transliterated or whatever, as Joseph is, so that, as we say in English, there are a lot of Joes out there. And that's what he's saying. I'd be just another face in the crowd if not for the Torah. So Shavuos, from my standpoint, says Rav Yosef, is a day of great significance, and hence I need to celebrate it. Rav Sheshes Kol Talsin Yoimin Mahadele Talmudei. Rav Sheshes every 30 days reviewed his learning. V'toli v'koy v'ibro didasha, and he leaned on the doorpost, the Omar, and he proclaimed, Chadoi nafshoi, chadoi nafshoi. Chadoi is an expression of chedva, or of simcha, that he says, I am happy, I am happy, loch karoi, loch tanoi. I learn Torah Shebichsav, Kroy is Psukim, Tanoi is Torah Shebal Peh. I do it for myself. Rashi says, Loch Karoi, Loch Nafshoi, Bishvil Chol, Sarchachos, Shanisi, Vakarisi. The Gemara asks, Amy, is that so, that one's Torah learning is something that one does for himself, and that only oneself benefits from Torah study? That's not true. The Omar Rabbi Lazar, the Molei Torah, Lo Niskaimu Shomai Varis. If not for Torah study, the entire cosmos, the heavens and earth, would not continue to exist. Shinamayim Lo Brisi Yoimam Valaylo. If not for my covenant of day and night. Now, the covenant of day and night is a reference to Torah study, in which the Pasuk in Yeshua says, V'gisa bo yoimam v'layla. The same expression, yoimam v'layla, appears in the context of Torah study. So the covenant of day and night, which is a reference to Torah study, chukos shemayim v'aretz lo samti. I wouldn't have placed the laws of nature that preserve heaven and earth. So that when one is engaged in Torah study, he's not doing it just for himself. He's doing it the pleasure that is sensed is that of the entire universe. So what was Rav Sheshis meaning when he said, I'm doing it for myself? So the Gemara explains, Meikara ki ovid inish. Meikara usually is translated as at the beginning. It might have another connotation here, and that is like one's main thought is Adaito Dinafshe Kovid. He does so with himself in mind. The benefit that it provides to the rest of the world we'll call it a secondary result, but it's not the primary motivation, if you will. And as you can see, the brackets close here, and we saw this section before, but it will go back over the Gemara. Amar Rav Ashi, Ulamai Dekom Rabbi Elezer Nami Yom Tov Rishus. Even though Rabbi Elezer himself holds that Yom Tov and the malachas that one does, the baking and cooking, is a matter of option, and as a result of that, he was trying to respond to the challenge that was made by Rabbi Yeshua to his shita, but Rabbi Eliezer's stance of holding that Yom Tov is Rishus itself is a weak position. Is Lei Pircha, it has an undoing to it. And the undoing is as follows. Umay Yom Tov shehitir bo malocha shel Rishus lo hitir shvus she'ima. Mind you, malocha, where there's a rather broad leniency, in that we allow malachas that are of an optional nature, and yet we don't allow the rabbinic activities to be done. Shabbos shelohit yibal malachas shel mitzvah. Shabbos, which is even more restrictive, insofar as we allow only malachas that are mitzvah oriented. Eino din shelo tatir shvus shima. All the more so, we won't allow a shvus, the shvus of that accompanies it. And hence, how is it that Rabbi Eliezer sees fit to allow the havos michutz l'tchum or the chatichas yabelto of the korban pesach on Shabbos? So Rabbi Eliezer responds, and we continue at the top of Samach Pesach and Aleph. Rabbi Eliezer, shvus the mitzvah odif lei. Odif means has greater significance. A shvus, an isur d'rabbanan that's associated with the performance of something obligatory, like the carrying of the animal of the korban pesach, or the bringing of it from outside the tchum, or the removal of the abeles, that the fact that it's associated with something that's obligatory elevates its significance, and hence that will be doyche Shabbos. Masha enkein, as opposed to the shvusim of Yom Tov, which are considered shvus de reshus. They're only optional matters, and they should have been taken care of before the holiday. Tanya. And here we have a Tanaic source, as you can see. Omar Rabbi Eliezer, Uma li imdochu machshirei mitzvah shela achar shchito es haShabbos, de is avid lei mitzvah, lo yidchu machshirei mitzvah shelefnei shchito es haShabbos. Rabbi Lezer says, mind you, machshirei mitzvah, things that are of a, let's say, preparatory nature for the performance of a mitzvah, that are that take place after the mitzvah was already done. And here a specific reference to michui krevov, the cleaning out of the entrails, which everyone agrees you can do on Shabbos, even though the basic mitzvah has been done. The basic mitzvah has been done, namely the offering of the sacrifice, which is accomplished through the slaughtering and the sprinkling of the blood. That's already been done. And yet, we allow machshirei mitzvah that follow the shechita. Certainly, machshirei mitzvah that precede the shechita, we should allow to be done. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva hears that that's Rabbi Elezer's position, and he says on using your logic, in fact, you should come to an opposite conclusion. He says, "Dema li im dochu machshir mitzvah shel achas shechita as a Shabbos, shrei doch se shechita as a Shabbos." The floodgates have been opened already, so to speak, says Rabbi Akiva. The machshirei mitzvah that follow the shechita, once we allow Shabbos to be superseded already or anyway by something else, by the slaughtering, so once Shabbos is superseded, it's easy to continue in that vein by allowing other things like michui krevov, tomar, yidchu machshirei mitzvah shelifnei shechita. Should you say the same thing regarding machshirei mitzvah, those preparatory stages like the bringing of the animal from outside the tomb or for removing the wart that take place before the shechita, shelifnei shechita, should they be dochse as a Shabbos? Shelo dochse shechita as a Shabbos. Shabbos was not superseded yet. We didn't do any malachas yet. So I don't know, at that point in time where we haven't overruled or superseded Shabbos, it's not so clear that other activities can be done. So Rabbi Akiva is arguing against Rabbi Elazar, just like with Rabbi Yeshua, not to allow removal of warts and carrying of animals and bringing them in from outside the tum. Dovar acher, another argument, and that's why you see a number two, Shemo yimso zevach posel. I'm not going to allow, says Rabbi Akiva, the removal of the wart or the carrying of the animal. Maybe it'll turn out to be an unfit korban. V'nimso mechalos haShabbos mafrein. Then it'll turn out that retroactively those actions that I was doing were for naught. There was, in a sense, a violation, chilul Shabbos, for nothing. The word lemafre indicates retroactively. In other words, once I slaughter the animal and discover it to be a trefa, an animal that's unfit to have been offered, so then anything that I was doing before and retroactively will be then chilul Shabbos. The Gemara asks, "I hachi, if this lemafreya, this retroactive issue comes up, then mishchat nami lo nishchat, then we shouldn't allow the slaughtering in the first place. Shemo yimse zevach posav and yimse mechalos or Shabbos mafreya. After you slice the animal's throat through the act of shechita and you open up its organs and find it to be a trefa, for example, you would, and then the zevach, the korban, is deemed unfit. So retroactively, the act of slaughter was not of any mitzvah value. So why do we allow shechita? The Gemara says that itself is a very strong point, and therefore, Ela ha omar le bereisha. You see, the number two corresponds to the number two in the Tanaic source. In terms of the order of arguments, this was actually argued first, even though the way it appears in the source, it appears in a number two position. It really was the first thing that Rabbi Akiva had said. Uparche, and Rabbi Elezer had undone that, had rejected that argument by virtue of claiming that even the shechita would not be allowed to be done. And everyone knows we allow the shechita. The Torah allows the shechita. So after Rabbi Kiva was shown the weakness of that argument, v'hodar omalei hach, then Rabbi Akiva argued his what we have as point number one, namely demali im dochu. How can you try to prove from Mihui Krevov to allow the other Shvusim when the Mihui Krevov is taking place after Shabbos was already superseded? Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.